Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
We are on the second issue of this Swamp Thing arc, issue 36. And if you'd like to listen to our previous episodes, check out our last episode that we just released, and episodes 31 through 38, as well as 97 through 103, if you want to get the full Swamp Thing, Alan Moore Swamp Thing story. So, we start out this issue, Nukeface, Paper
cover,
Part
let's,
2.
Let's go with the cover first.
Go ahead.
Basically, it's a dead, which doesn't make any sense,
dead
skeleton
of
body, Swamp Thing.
Yep.
With Nukeface standing over top of it, basically. Well, like, behind it.
Behind it in the...
Now, I will admit, decay. I didn't read these newspaper articles because they were so small.
I read a couple of them. Not these first ones, more so later in the issue. Similar to how the first... issue was, they're telling more of the story.
Gotcha. But, the backstory of all the nuclear dumping.
Yeah, like
stuff.
I said, I didn't read all of them, so I didn't. I'm not saying I didn't care. I just didn't have time.
Yeah, no, it's understandable.
So, but this first issue or first page here of this issue, we have Swamp Thing dying.
Yeah, he's literally falling apart. Like where Nukeface in the last issue had grabbed his arm has completely decayed off, and he's burning from the inside where he had drank some of toxic nuclear waste. And while he's doing this, he's thinking of Abby.
So this issue in particular is different. Because so what it is we ultimately get the whole story in three pages.
Yeah.
From Swamp Thing's perspective.
Yep.
And then we'll have a page or two of another guy's perspective, and then another guy's, and then another guy's. It was an interesting concept, a little hard to follow, but I did like
it. Yeah, because you had to keep remembering that you were going back.
Exactly.
And going
and
back.
As I'm reading this at work, in between building trucks.
You're like, wait, no, why is that
I think I literally had to go back and forth a few different times.
So we'll
stick with the Swamp Thing here.
So Swamp Thing connects with Abby telepathically, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, he's thinking of her, and then while he's thinking of her, they connect because, you know, Abby's got these powers also.
Yeah.
And
he's reaching out to her. He's hoping that she is okay.
Yeah.
Because he just left her.
Yeah, he's like, I just left her laying in the swamp. And, you know, so he reaches out to her.
Because he didn't expect anything
to
happen.
Exactly.
But a day goes by, and then it's the next day, and he's feeling for her, and he feels that she's at Elysium Lawns.
Yes,
I was gonna say yawns.
Not Elysian Fields.
Elysium Lawns. Helping the kids out because that's her job.
Mm-hmm.
And then the night comes,
and he tells her that my body's dying, and that
the night comes, and then he she shows up.
Yeah.
And then he tells her that.
Yeah, I'm poisoned.
She's
my
scared.
Body's dying, and she's crying, and, she's, terrified.
Yeah, because he's literally falling to pieces.
And he actually explains, it says, right here, and then I tell her what I plan to do, and then my lower jaw falls off, and after a while, I die.
Descriptive, dude. That was great. I loved it. Next page, we are introduced to Officer Bernhard. And this is where I'm starting to have some issues with the storytelling.
Because this goes back to the day before that.
Well, that's fine. But basically, this officer is just talking to this Mrs. What's her name? Morrill? No, not Morrill.
Merrill? Merrill?
The guy...
Bob's... The one that tried to stab Bob with the...
apparently she is... She was Bob's landlord.
Yeah.
Which, when I first read it,
I thought that was his
wife.
Or girlfriend or something like
whatever.
That was...
Well, wife, because Mrs.
Yeah, fair enough.
And you know how they didn't call their wives by their first name, as we found out in Flash.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But he's just talking about how Mrs. Morwood, that's not right.
Merrill.
Was talking about Bob and how he hasn't been seen for some time. Wallace happens to be there, and he overhears this, knowing what he knows about the
Nukeface from Pennsylvania.
Yep. And how all of the bombs disappeared.
Yep.
He automatically puts it together real quick. Oh shit, something's going on here.
Yep.
And then the officer continues telling his story. Wallace then, later on, runs into the officer again at the station. Talk about how a monster had got his wife and they had to go find her right now.
Yeah.
But what they end up finding was Bob's
body.
Dead.
Yeah. And then we go to Wallace's perspective of earlier that day.
The same scene.
Yeah.
He's talking to the officer and Mrs. whatever hell her name is. I can't remember. It's literally right here. I know it is. Morrill. Yeah, it is Mrs. Morrill.
Okay. But anyways, so we've got...
This is one of the parts that confused me, too.
It's because this is
why do this,
and then you go
and then
back.
Jump back.
Okay, so the first picture we get is him, and he's like, "Treasure, please don't look at me like that. I want to hold you. I want to make everything all right, but my legs won't let me. They just keep backing me away from you, backing away across the wet morning grass." And then we go back to the morning before that.
And him sounding like a crazed person talking to the police officer and Mrs. Morrill.
Yeah. He goes back and he's like, and this is where we get the cop's perspective of when he first met Monroe,
Wallace Monroe,
was because while the old lady was yelling at the cop, telling him that he needed to go find him so that the bum could pay her rent, he's like, "Oh, excuse me, did you say there was a drunkard missing?" And he's like, "Man," he's like, "I shouldn't even have said anything because I made the cop suspicious."
Yep.
We see these kids that are playing around, and they keep saying stuff about Nuke Face, and I flip out.
Well, there was a kid in a giant, oversized trench coat with a
bag on his
paper
head.
Bag over his head with eyes cut out. And once Wallace sees the kids, it sets him off. He yells at them, which in turn he can't get his mind straight. And Treasure notices this, so he decides he's gonna go for a walk. You know, she asks him to grab some milk because he's going to the store, but he ends up unknowingly walks into the woods. And while he's in there, he feels like the woods are surrounding him.
Yeah, and he freaks out.
Yep, and he starts running, and he yells, like, "Why don't you leave me alone?" Because he thinks Nukeface is after him.
Yeah, he's, like, paranoid and, like, yeah. Creep. You know, like, he's like, seriously, like, you know, freaking out at this point in time.
One thing I forgot to mention during the Swamp Thing perspective.
Oh yeah,
Swamp Thing does hear Wallace yell.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
which is I like that
it ties
everything's
into
lining up.
Yeah,
the main perspectives are lining up.
But then he ends up finding his way out of the woods.
I think it took him a couple hours.
Yeah, it took me another hour to locate our motel. Yeah, so he'd been in there for a while.
Yeah,
and when he gets back there, he's got this note from Treasure that says, "Gone to look for you and buy milk. If you get home, please stay put. Treasure XXX."
Yeah.
Which, again, leads me to believe that she may or may not have been, I guess not a stripper, but a porn star.
Even better? I don't know, 80s porn stars. So he kind of sits on it for a minute, and that's when he rushes over to the police station.
Well, he says the note said 8:30. That was 2 hours before.
Well, yeah, he had taken them 2 hours to get back home.
Yeah.
After the hour, he was probably already gone. So it's been like 3 hours.
Yeah.
So he rushes to the police station, says what he says. They go searching for her. They do find Bob, but also find these footprints. And so they're searching all night. The next morning, Treasure comes walking out of the woods, because apparently she got lost as well. And she tells Wallace what happened.
Well, actually, she doesn't actually tell him in this part.
Well, no, yeah, but she tells him.
He says, and then he asks I'd ask where you'd been, and you told me. And then that was when we get back to the Treasure, please don't look at me like that.
With Wallace backing up.
And then he runs away from her.
Yep. Next page is Mrs. Morrill.
Mrs. Mushroom. Morrill.
identifying the body of Bob, and...
Yeah, that's
Bob looks
him.
Like
he looks
a fucking
like shit.
Sea creature.
Yeah. Especially in the way they made it, the bag look over it.
Yep.
It gives it that watery look like he's inside of an aquarium.
And that's what I don't... Like, how do you know that's him? Like, there's no recognizable features on him anymore.
I'd recognize them teeth from anywhere. That's Bob.
But then she she seems to think that is that feller from Pennsylvania. That he's what done this.
I suspected him from the start.
Yeah, that she talks about how his wife is in the how his wife is in the hospital now, and you know I've always thought it was him, and what he did to that poor Billy Hatcher the other day, and going off on him. It's like the fact of this story jumping around like it did annoyed me.
Yeah,
especially when we do get treasure scene next. I'm gonna jump up to Billy's real quick.
All right, and then go back to treasure.
We're
going to go out of order, but it'll make more sense to you.
Well, and this is the thing that doesn't make sense. Well, shit, because it still doesn't make sense either without reading Nuke Faces, which is at the very end.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we'll go back to treasure.
We're just going to go in order because apparently that made sense to them.
It made sense to somebody.
But, so you got treasure, and she's crying.
Same with Wallace, opening scene. Them together, but him
except
running
this
away.
Is from her point of view, and she says, "Wallace, what have I done wrong? Why are you walking away from me? Please, Wallace, what's happened to us?"
And so
they go back to her point of view from what we got from Wallace's story previously,
the cops.
If you guys are keeping up with all this,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's him, you know, and he, you know, talks to the people outside the when he's talking to the cop and what's her face, and then again when he left to go get the milk. And then she's like,
she was waiting around for an hour and he had not shown up. So she went out to go get the milk.
And then she saw the swamp looking so beautiful that she just had to go out there and look at it.
Why?
So then while she's walking around, she drinks her milk and gets lost.
Uh-huh. And she comes across Nukeface. In her perspective, he looked
normal.
Sick.
Yeah, just like a sick old man.
Yeah. So she puts her jacket over him, prays for him. And then lays down and
she
sleeps next to him.
She lays down and, you know, holds him. And
and then...
she's pregnant, right?
Yep.
Okay. Because, well, there are sometimes...
with that.
No, there's just sometimes when, I wasn't sure if she was actually pregnant. Because they called her the fat chick when they were talking about her. And then, at first, I thought she was pregnant. And then after I read that, I was like, well, maybe she was just kind of pudgy and I feel bad for calling her pregnant. But then, in these panels, you can definitely tell that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I think.
Could have sworn... Yes, because I think they say later on that she's
in
the hospital.
That's why she had the craving for milk and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, she's in the hospital and the baby's doing okay, and I thought that could be...
But anyway. So she first comes out of the woods, and Wallace comes up to her, and, so happy to see her, and you can see the loving look in his eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then she tells him about what happened, and he's like, you laid next to him all night, and he was glowing? And she says, yes, he was ill, what's wrong with that? And he says, oh, geez, we found footprints.
Those footprints, they're starting to piece it together. And everybody's, around her.
And then they
run away
from her.
The minute they say that, they just rush back.
And she says, what's wrong with everybody? I haven't done anything. Why won't anybody come near me? And then, she's having a breakdown right there in the middle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And, you've got Wallace's little bitch ass running away.
I mean, he said he was going to go find the doctor.
Yeah.
As he turns around crying, running away. Then we go to this Billy Hatcher. And I love how all these kids look like they're 10 to 12
smoking cigarettes.
They're all smoking cigarettes because they're cool,
which makes me think of that whole problem they're having with Stranger Things because of all the cigarette smoking. And then you've got this. It's like, nope, that literally was the 80s.
So this one plays out. This kid Billy, he's telling the story about how he came across this guy he immediately called Nukeface because his face looked like a nuke.
He says, a real mutant, zits and bits of stuff off his face and everything.
That's the first thing you come up with.
It's Nukeface.
Yeah, that's odd.
Right.
But.
Right.
But Nukeface, yells at him, and so Billy goes rushing off. But that apparently left such an impression on him that he decided to make a
mask.
A mask of it. I guess now it's a newspaper,
which
instead of a paper bag.
Yeah, but if you look at it, well, it's a paper bag looking thing made out of newspapers. But if you look at it, that's the same one from the first issue's
cover. Really? Yeah.
It's just a different look, because it's still got the same missing tooth.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. It's supposed to, that's why
it's supposed to be similar to it. Yeah. And so he tells a story about how he made this costume up.
And then this guy comes and yells at him.
This random guy. Like, who's saying, this isn't Pennsylvania, those dumps were safe. all kinds of crazy stuff, so we ran away.
And then we go to Abby.
Yeah. And Abby wakes up in the swamp where Swamp Thing left her the day prior. And she's just, she's happy.
Yeah, she goes through, to go, does her normal day thing, goes to work,
she,
you know.
She figured he had to rush off, so.
He had things to do, you know, he takes care of the swamp.
And she had to go to work anyway.
Exactly.
I do like how she's at work, and this kid, Tommy, you know, he's nonverbal. He stands there smiling and nodding while I look at the picture, this picture that he had drawn for her. And then all of a sudden, something flashes inside my head, and it's Swamp Thing practically half-melted. The image vanishes, and Tommy is staring at me, looking unhappy. He thinks his picture upset me, and now Tommy is a crying little bitch.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you know, I get it. They're handicapped kids.
Yes,
and you know, he was showing her a picture, and then she got upset, and he was thinking to himself, you know, it was my picture that did this, and yes. I'm, you know, and how would that make you feel? As you know, even
sorry,
you know, as a, you know, even as just like a you know, a kid in general, let alone, you know, a handicapped kid that, yeah, you know, doesn't have full control of his emotions.
I get it. I definitely get it.
But anyway, so, you know, he's crying. He walks away. And then Abby, you know, is walking through the swamp. And she's like, you know, I hear some men crashing through the woods shouting to each other. So she's like, I wait until they pass on. And she's like, then an hour later, I find you. And this is where he says, you know, don't come any closer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm poisoned. And then he says, my body is dying. Soon I'll be gone. Listen carefully. I can't talk much longer. I'm going to try to leave my body, send my mind out into the green. I waited for you to come so I could tell you. And then he's like, you know, she's like, no, but your body's falling apart. You won't have a body to come back to. And she says, what did this to you?
He says, you know, no time to explain. You're right.
This body will die.
This body will die.
Going to try to build a new one.
Like, it'll work.
If it works. No, it says, if it works, I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I love you, Abby.
And then that's when his chin falls off. Or his lower chin.
And then his whole body just disintegrates into nothing.
And Abby's left there crying. We then go to Nuke Face. And he wakes up with Treasure's coat on him.
Mm-hmm.
Those plants or whatever are still falling down.
Yeah, all the little nasty infected things.
He is like, oh man, what a crazy dream. I saw my mom.
Well, first he says, oh, my head must have been some kind of party.
That's fair. And then he talks about how he remembers that they buried the stuff in the swamp, in whatever.
And
couldn't get to it.
There's a guy, Ed, what's his name? And he was going to help me dig it up, but he just laid there. That big bastard, after I gave him my last shot of juice, too.
Yeah. Then we go over to him seeing the kid, Billy, and he goes rushing off. And this is why I say it doesn't line up, because he had to have seen Billy the day before.
Yeah, exactly. Before, because that would have been when Wallace yelled at the kids.
Exactly. Like, yeah. The time frame doesn't match. The story's still good. Time frame doesn't match. Then he just starts talking about how, you know, he's everything from Pennsylvania and Bloomsville.
Wait. This is him recalling the day before that. Because this is after he burned up Swamp Thing. Then he says, then I ran into this kid.
Okay.
And then I saw my mom, or this woman that reminded me of my mom. She covered me with her blanket and she said a little prayer.
Okay.
So that would actually make sense.
That's kind of track.
But what happened is they jumped forward in the story and then back in the story again.
And that's why it's confusing. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We end this issue here. Nukeface is just ecstatic. He's going to go from town to town to find all the nuclear waste. Well, all the juice he can.
Yeah.
And that's where he's off to. These were a few of the ones I read this last page, because it's newspaper articles all around Nukeface.
It's basically,
as he's walking away,
it's basically like the comments, you know, after a video where they like start popping them up. That's what it reminded me of.
A quick one. It's just talk about all of these little tiny incidents,
cruel cover-ups on job poisons
in numerous different towns.
Yeah. No illnesses found in dioxin testing, hazardous waste dump, you know, blah blah blah.
Uh-huh. Like, it's pretty cool. So, and that's how we end this for the second issue. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Swamp Thing story.